If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, September 26, 2024. You are listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network, to be found on thechairshot.com, where we remind you and encourage you to always use your head. I am the man with the award-winning and holy beard, DJ. Going to go around the room like I always do and introduce this cast of characters we got here. We're back down to a three-man team. AJ, want to thank him for joining us last week. Had a fun show, had a good time. But this week, back to the three of us. Going to start with the resident high flyer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. He is Bucky's tag team partner, a man destined to go through a barbershop window. Jason, sir, how are you?
I'm alive, my friends.
You're alive, and I forgot about half of your intro. Sorry about that.
It's really okay.
I've had a rough week. I talked to the guys a little bit, or Jason specifically. Rob jumped in late in the pre-show. I've had a rough week. I'm going to be shot out of a cannon tonight. We're going to do the best we can to grind through this. From the Rob the Genius podcast, he is the minister of truth, the father of action figures, the deacon of data, the official shoot bear of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, Ray Cash's daddy, and the man with the golden shovel. Rob, how are you, bud?
Good to be back.
What are you munching on over there? You were munching on something a minute ago.
Sun-made golden raisins.
Ooh, raisins. Ooh, nasty. Nasty. I should have added that to the Smash or Trash list last week.
Oh, see.
Smash.
Yes.
Trash. Right to the trash with raisins.
Oh, get out of here.
You know what's good? You know what else is good? Craisins.
Oh, yeah. You put craisins in like a salad. Yes.
Ooh. I do like craisins, and I like yogurt-covered raisins. Like just straight raisins? Hell no.
Fair.
Nastiness. So we are recording tonight. I am live from the Pod Cave with Hurricane Helene as a backdrop. That's right. I am in Florida. Luckily for me, I'm on the east coast of Florida, so we're getting a little bit of wind, a little bit of rain. My friends on the west coast, not faring so well. You folks in the panhandle, I hope you made it through safe. Please, by all means, by the time this podcast airs, we'll be about 25 or 24 hours post-storm going through. If you hear this and you're in the panhandle, please let the cleaning crews do their thing. Let the emergency crews do their thing. Let the power people do their thing. I've been through these hurricanes. The power is going to be out for a while. I cannot stress strongly enough, please stay home. I know it stinks. You don't have AC. Hopefully you have the supplies that you need, but stay off the roads. Let these people do their work, because the more you get out there, because you want to go out, and it's human nature to want to go out and assess the damage. You want to look around your neighborhoods. You want to look around your immediate area and your surroundings and see what's going on. Please, I beg you and implore you to resist that urge. Let the emergency crews and the cleanup crews and the electricians, because I'm sure they're all hovering right now waiting to get in there. Please let them do their jobs. Stay out of the way. Don't touch down power lines, you know, and just please be safe. And I hope that if you're in the sound of our voice in the Florida Panhandle area, up into Georgia and into those southern states where they're going to get a lot of wind and a lot of rain when this thing finally blows through. I'm looking at the future track, and they could be getting heavy winds and rain all the way up into like Tennessee and Kentucky when this thing is finally all said and done.
Wow, we got rain going real good this morning up here in Maryland.
Yeah, well, I shared with you guys in the Discord chat that picture that I took from the NOAA website, because I've been following this thing all week, and I've had the NOAA website pulled up where it has the live satellite feed, and that's, as a matter of fact, I'll throw that up on my app formerly known as Twitter. That's at the Mindless Pod if you want to check out that picture. This storm system starts with the hurricane down in the Gulf, but then there's just this stream of clouds that goes all the way up the East Coast on the backside of this front that's kind of stalled out, and it goes all the way. Rob's in DC and Jason's in Boston, and it goes all the way up to where you guys are.
Yeah, we are getting a very light but consistent sprinkle all afternoon.
Yeah, it's crazy. And the storm itself was impressive. It was way, you know, just wide, massive, expansive. So most counties in Florida are feeling something. But yeah, again, you folks in the panhandle, please, I hope you made it through safe, and I hope you continue to be safe. Like I said, if you're within the sound of our voices, please just take care of yourselves, take care of your family and your loved ones.
Let the emergency crews do their jobs.
Yes.
Look, they get this stuff cleaned up a lot faster if you stay out of the way.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Cannot stress that enough.
You guys have hurricanes. We have blizzards. You know, we got it. We got all the emergency guys covered, and we love them, and we want to stay out of their way.
Yep. So do that and be safe, and let's get through this together. Now, this is a wrestling podcast. We are going to talk a little bit of wrestling. Jason is again on a bit of protest because I want to talk a little bit. The Mr. McMahon documentary dropped last night. That would be the 25th. It dropped on the 25th on Netflix. I am about almost 4 full episodes in. And I kind of wanted to kick it around a little bit, not necessarily to talk about Vince McMahon, but to talk about the flow and the some of the content of the documentary. I think there was probably some high expectations that this thing was going to be a total and solid burial of Vince McMahon. Like, and in light of all the horrible, horrible accusations and just everything that's come out about this guy in the last 24 months, stuff we kind of knew, but we didn't have confirmation on, stuff we suspected. But now as more and more stuff is coming out, we're finding out just how awful this guy was over decades. And I think people were expecting this to be an expose of that. And at least from what I've seen in the first 4 episodes, we are not there. It literally is a chronological story from the time he enters the world of professional wrestling to acquiring WWF at the time from his father, to going through the golden era of the Hogan years, to, you know, the new generation era, into the Attitude era, and so on and so forth. So it's, I think,
DJ,
yes.
DJ, as much as it pains me to talk about Vince McMahon, I think it's worth noting that this documentary started as Bill Simmons doing a documentary with Vince McMahon about Vince McMahon's life.
Yes.
And they were not done with it yet when all this stuff started to break, and they finished it anyway. So right. I think, if I had to guess, I think it's going to be very interesting by the last couple of episodes.
And that's what I'm getting to. I think everything, and I'll get to that in a minute, because it does preface this in the beginning of the documentary that most of the interviews took place starting in about 2021. Okay, yeah. So in 2021, Vince is still fully at the helm. The wheels have not come off the bus yet. So most people who they're interviewing and who are talking about him and about their experiences with him, it's not a complete burial. Like, some people had some thoughts, you know, and most of it, if you're in the bubble, is not going to come as any surprise. There's nothing enlightening. There's a few little nuggets about the time period where he acquired the company from his father, some little details that I didn't know. Some interesting tidbits of information from some interesting sources, like Tony Atlas. Tony Atlas is in this rather prominently, and he has a lot of things to say. And he says some very poignant things about McMahon, about McMahon's booking, about the company in general. Had some very, very inflammatory things to say about Pat Patterson. But there were also some other areas where he's like, look, he's like, this is what it is, and it's not what people thought it was. So I felt like Tony Atlas's side of things was pretty well, you know, on the level. But they do, like I said, they do preface that most of these interviews took place in 2021. Well, I'm almost, I think I left it off.
The Tony Atlas one is one of those, right?
Yes. Yes.
So I'm saying this was never going to be a Vince puff piece. Like, it was going to be, you know, I think honestly from, I haven't seen it yet, but I've seen just the previews and what you're telling me now. It sounds like somebody saw the Ric Flair 30 for 30 and went, yeah, we're doing that with Vince McMahon. And we're,
I don't think Vince wanted, Vince is not a puff piece person.
No.
He always wants to give it to you straight, or at least he always wants to give you the good, the bad, and the ugly.
So yeah. His side of it would be like, yeah, okay, I'm going to say my piece, but then yeah, go interview Tony Atlas and go interview this guy and go interview that guy, whatever. And cause he, you know, he almost lives off that kind of controversy. And yeah,
yeah.
He embraces the Satan thing. Come on.
He's very confrontational. He said himself a million times. He is naturally confrontational.
Yeah. Yes.
So, yeah, he was not, yeah, he, you know, it just, it is, you know, so no, I wasn't expecting, him to, I wasn't expecting just a full on, you know, we love you, man thing.
No, and there's definitely none of that. I mean, there's definitely some glimpses of respect for him, at least during the time period. Let's keep this in context. The time period with which some of these early interviews were filmed. Like, there's a point in there where Brett's talking very candidly about the Montreal screw job. When he punches Vince. And what's interesting is, and again, we're talking about an industry built on deceit. And Vince is the godfather of an industry built on deceit. So you take with that what you want, extrapolate what you will. There's conflicting stories from Vince and Brett as to exactly what happened post Montreal Screwjob, where Brett punches him out. Vince's side of it is that he felt like he owed Brett, and he's like, you know what? I just walked in his locker room and let him punch me, and that was that. Brett's side of it is like, no, we locked up, we tussled, and then I hit him with an uppercut. So, and there's a few instances in there where Vince's side of recollection of something is different than somebody else's recollection of something. So again, we're talking, one, it's a documentary. And as I told the guys, these things always have an agenda. So we're always going to sensationalize certain things. But what I liked about certain things was some of the honesty, like some of the stuff that Eric Bischoff talked about during the Attitude Era, you know, and how he, you know, was intentionally poking at Vince to see what Vince would do. There's nothing here so far that's going to shock anybody, but from an entertainment standpoint, I have been entertained thus far.
Okay. I guess for me, like, cause I haven't watched it. I didn't really plan on it. I'm not the biggest fan of documentaries because and a lot of these wrestling documentaries in particular, there's always stuff that gets refuted later. And not by just people who were mad because they got talked bad about. I mean, and the people, you know, like Tony Atlas isn't exactly a reliable narrator, so to speak.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely.
You know,
nobody is.
Go ahead, Rob. I've got something that he said that I'm going to spoil on here, but go ahead and finish because I've got a thought about that.
Because of all people, you know, Jim Cornette has spoken like on some of those Dark Side of the Ring documentaries because some of those have covered subjects where he was there. Oh. And he said point blank, like, no, that didn't happen that way. Okay. And not because he was trying to protect himself or anything. This is about people who he had no reason to protect and say something wasn't true. Just like how Brett and Vince had a different recollection of what happened, right?
Right.
I'm sure they both believe that's what it was and the way it went. But I don't think either of them are lying, right? But they, you know, it's, yeah, I mean, and then also just with so many of these things, you see the quote on screen and it may not be the full quote. It may not be, you know, and all of that. Like, you know, that, you know, there's been much been kicked around about Steve Austin saying he doesn't believe in CTE or whatever. And, you know, I'm like, okay, I need to see the full quote and I need to see what context he was asked. Just seeing a graphic with him saying that on my computer screen, that doesn't cut it for me. Okay. Now, look, I mean, would I be surprised if he's a CTE skeptic? Sure. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. No. Right. But you know,
so none of these guys are reliable narrators is the point.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And so it's like, okay. And also, you know, what we've been saying as far as us as viewers, if you're in the bubble again, because this whole thing, ever since the lawsuit came out and Vince got forced down everything, just there seemed to be a lot of people just trying to kind of, I think, you know, baptize themselves of whatever guilt they feel about having, you know, or whatever, or they, you know, they're trying very hard to erase Vince so they don't have to think about the vile old man anymore. And I'm just like, dude, you gave that man money for 30 years. Okay. At least, I mean, a lot of us have gave him money for 20 years, 30 years, whatever. Okay. You saw Katie Vick and you kept watching. You were there for Owen Hart getting killed. You kept watching. When a few years ago, when they took the Saudi money after Khashoggi got killed, you kept watching. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay,
well, but Rob, we didn't watch the Saudi show.
I mean, okay.
They skipped the actual show. So, oh,
but they watched the TV before and after. They never stopped.
Hey, well, it's activism if you don't watch the Saudi show, but you keep watching the regular program.
You know, and I mean, I'm sorry, it's just
now that nobody even pretends to do that anymore. Yeah. That was all so performative and
dumb. Absolutely performative.
And half of you fucking watched it and didn't even say, just didn't tweet about it.
Right. I mean, just come on. And I mean, so it's just, you know what? I mean, there are a million different things. You know, you're all Mr., you know, you're Mr. I support women's wrestling, but when they did the stuff during the Attitude Era, you watched all of it, you know, and you didn't stop watching then. When they were having lingerie pillow fights in WrestleMania, you didn't stop watching then. Now you're Mr. I support women wrestling. You know,
they do a whole segment on there, and it's actually pretty poignant. I mean, and Triple H kind of makes a really good point. They're like, what's worse, the people putting on the content or the people consuming it? Because
there comes a point where, yeah, I mean, there just comes a point where you made a decision to keep going.
Yeah.
You didn't get out of the car. Right. I mean, because I'm in a movie Boys in the Hood, right. And like, in the closing act, they're Cuba Gooding Jr. and Ice Cube and a bunch of, they're going to find these guys who killed their Ice Cube's brother. Right. And the whole movie, you know, Cuba Gooding Jr.'s father has been telling them about the evils of the street and blah, blah, blah. But they're all pissed off when they're going to find these guys. And then like halfway through, Cuba says, I asked you, hey man, let me out of the car. And he gets out of the car and he goes home.
Yeah.
And Ice Cube and other guys, they find the dudes and they kill them. And then the next day, Ice Cube was like, hey man, I know why you got out of the car. It's cool. I understand. Right. And that's the thing, right? Y'all didn't get out of the car. Okay. You stayed in the car. Okay.
We all did. I'm as guilty and culpable as anybody, exactly. Man.
Right. I mean, we didn't get out of the car. We stayed in the car.
We podcast in the car.
We are
podcasting from the car.
We live.
It is what it is, guys.
We were live streaming from the backseat of the car when Ice Cube and the boys found the dude and shot him. Okay.
Right.
That's basically what happened here. Okay. You know, now to those of you who did get out, now there are some people who did get out of the car and yeah. Salute to all of them. Okay. But most
yeah, exactly.
Of them
not.
This right. Ends up being a situation where we often talk separating the art from the artist. And I think as fans, at least from my own perspective, that's what I've done. You know, I have to look at the WWE as a product, as an entertainment, and I can, okay, this absolute fucking lunatic, disgusting human was in charge of something that I thoroughly enjoy. And it's like, okay, do I walk away from it, because of him, and sacrifice decades of entertainment and, to me, turn my back on the talent? Because I can, prior to 10 years ago, you could probably say, okay, yeah, and there's some points in this documentary where you look at it and you go, okay, yeah, the talent is kind of to blame for some of this behavior because there was an accepted culture in the world of professional wrestling. And it wasn't just WWE and WWF. Let me be very clear here. I've been in the business. Okay. This was not a strictly WWF was not an island in this culture. Okay. This was a business culture in a lot of ways. And, you know, but looking at it now, as times have changed, as the talent has changed, as society has changed, I can't hold the talent currently active accountable for something that their owner did. Because, and I've maintained on this show that I think a lot of the more seedy stuff that happened, he kept very, very close to the chest. And there was a very, very small inner circle who truly knew the dirtiest of the dirty. So I can't in clear conscience walk away from the talent, walk away from the experiences that I've had simply because this guy's a dirtbag.
Well, and then my thing is, like, okay, guys, just don't watch the documentary. It's not for us, first of all. And it was never, it sounds like it was never going to be a puff piece. It was going to be a Ric Flair, like, hey, the Ric Flair documentary basically presented it to him as, hey, here's who this dude thinks he is. And here's what everybody else says.
And that's almost exactly what it is.
Right. So, and honestly, guys, we knew. We know and we knew. And then my point of view is don't watch the documentary. I'm sick of fucking talking about him because now we actually are free of this dude. We actually are. And you guys, like, I understand if you want to pay attention to the court cases and all that good stuff. I myself want to hear the next determination of his fate, mortal, with the court system, whatever. That's the next time I want to hear about Vince McMahon. We can stop fucking talking about him. We can let this burden that we've had, that we have all made some sort of deal with our conscience about to keep giving this dude money, whether it's to support the talent, it's to keep supporting the tribal chief, it's to, you know, because you believe in just pro wrestling and that's still the best pro wrestling, whatever it was, you still made a bargain with yourself. Because we all know who this guy is. So I'm begging us that please, let this documentary talk be the last we speak of him until we talk about, you know, the next fork in his road. You know, I'm sure that will be a topic of conversation. And I hope whatever the more negative option is, that's the one that is chosen by the fates or the courts or otherwise. But otherwise, let's let this dude go.
Go ahead, Rob. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, Rob, go ahead.
Yeah, because we only have to speak about him in a historical context now. And you can just, we only have to speak about facts now. We can say, hey, WrestleMania 3 had 93,000 people, right? And that was the show that he put together. That's all we have to say now, okay? You know, or you know, he, you know, the Austin McMahon feud was one of the greatest feuds of all time, right? It did all this business. That's all we have to say now.
Okay? Yeah, just factual historical information.
You know, the screw job happened, or... Yes, Owen Hart died and they kept the show going. That, I mean, okay, we can just, that is just factual. We don't have to, you know.
We don't have to litigate this guy anymore.
Yeah. It irks me now because a lot of some of the different camera stuff and whatnot that they have, Triple H is instituted. People can't help themselves. instead of just saying, hey, this is really cool what they're doing with the cameras now, they can't help themselves. It's, oh, this is much better than Vince was. If Vince was in charge, we wouldn't be getting all these camera angles now. Like, bro, just be happy that you're getting it. Okay.
And that was the point that I was about to make before I, you know, accidentally cut you off. What I want now is to move forward from WWE. From ground zero, Vince is out the door permanently. Moving forward, if I watch another 10 years, 20 years, or God forbid another 40 years, I want WWE to reinvent itself as a company. Because there's two WWEs. There was WWE, the public perception. And the public perception was, okay, this is an entertainment thing that I like. And it's wonderful. It's great. It has all my favorite superstars and my favorite wrestling and my favorite this and whatever. And then there's the business WWE, where a lot of people were like, I'm never fucking going there because I don't want to work for Vince. I don't like the way they do business. I don't like the way he did business. Okay. I want WWE as a business, for the people in the business to evolve, to move forward, to continue to get better, not only for the fans, but for the talent. That's what I want from here on. However long I watch this, however long they survive. The only other little nugget that I'll throw out here from the documentary, and then as far as I'm concerned, I'll give you guys the last floor and then we can move on, was Dave Meltzer. Of course, Meltzer has to have a say, but interestingly enough, I found him to be one of the better parts of what I've seen in the documentary. And I hate saying that because you guys know I have publicly buried the guy on this show. Okay. And at his best day, Dave Meltzer is a problem for wrestling fans. However, some of his historical recollection of certain points in time in this documentary are very well spoken. They're very well put together. But because he's Meltzer, he's got to well actually a few things. He had to well actually the 93,000 at the Silverdome. He had to well actually Hogan slamming Andre. He had to well actually Hogan and Andre never touching, because this is what they sold WrestleMania 3 on. Hogan and Andre have never wrestled. Dave, they've wrestled 25 times. Andre's never been slammed. Dave, Andre's been slammed 25 times. And then, of course, he had, you know, the whataboutisms and all of that, but the well actually with the actual attendance. And the only thing that I'll ever say about that is, what does it friggin' matter? His number is somewhere around 78 to 79,000. That's still 79 fucking thousand people paid to see a wrestling show in what, 1987. That's fucking unheard of, man. So, but beyond the little, you know, well, actuallys, I will say that Dave Meltzer was actually one of the more interesting parts of this documentary that I've seen so far.
Well, I mean, we've always said, and it's true, when he sticks to wrestling history, there really is not many people better, aside from people who have been in the business.
Absolutely.
Like, for someone who has never done, they've taken a bump, never booked a show, never whatever, he's an incredible wrestling historian, and his recollection of, like, 30 years ago is incredible.
Yeah, his recollection of factual information is pretty good. How he chooses to import that knowledge is suspect.
Exactly. Yeah, once he tries to present it a certain way, instead of just saying, hey, this is what happened, then the nonsense starts. But, yeah.
Right. Dave understands what he's watching, but when it comes to the, hey, this is a, like I said before, this is a business built on deception, Dave doesn't like the deception part of it. Okay. Right. He's like hung up on the hold for hold grappling, which he really enjoys. But the smoke and mirrors, Dave's got to expose the smoke and mirrors, and that drives me insane.
Wow, yummy smoke and mirrors.
Rob, you got any last thoughts before we kick it on down the road here?
Just not really. I guess for me, if you read PDO Grab back in the '80s, like I did, they were pretty harsh towards Vince McMahon. And so for me, it's just, I'm not watching it because from everything I've seen, there's nothing new. And yeah, I mean, look, y'all have fun.
Yeah, I'll probably finish it up over the weekend.
In the words of Top Gun Commander Mike Metcalf, call sign Viper, you gotta let him go.
Yeah.
And it's time. We have moved on from Vince McMahon as wrestling fans, and I think the rest of you should too. Let it go, man. Let this company reinvent itself, and let's move forward. So let's kick things over here. Let's get out of the documentary phase of things, and let's congratulate Jey Uso on his first singles title win in WWE, dethroning Bron Breakker for the Intercontinental Championship on Monday night. I think we've got a lot to talk about here. My timeline was pretty split on the whole thing. Obviously, the breathe heavies were, you know, already out in full force about, you know, Bron Breakker being buried and he didn't need to lose. And why are they doing this with Jey Uso? And then there's those of us that are ride or die for Jey Uso who recognize that the guy has put in the work. He's over $1 million. He's a top, five merch seller in the company. At what point, with this guy being, 38, 39 years old?
Yeah.
At what point do you give him his flowers? You know, he's got a dozen years on Bron Breakker. Bron Breakker's got 2 decades of career ahead of him. Okay?
Yeah.
Jey Uso has, conservatively, 10. Okay?
Yeah.
Probably less than that before he starts to slow down and, you know, probably go into a more part-time role. But conservatively speaking, Jey Uso may have 10. And he toiled in the mid-card for most of that first 12 years of his career. And he finally breaks out. And they give him his flowers, and people are on the internet complaining about it. I do not get it. That's just one of those head scratching things with the IWC for me.
So, dude, hats off to Triple H because, you know, Occam's razor. Everything you just said, DJ, he's over as hell. He's got a cool entrance and chant, and, you know, he's got a catchphrase that's over as hell. He's got merch that's flying off the shelves. He's a great wrestler. Okay. Just do it. Perfect. Bron Breakker loses absolutely nothing. Everybody calm down about that. Like, geez. This is one of the oldest tricks in the book is, you know, giving a rookie the quick championship, you know, here's your, you know, cool couple of weeks of championship reign and then you might not see one for a year. So he'll be fine. Bron Breakker, I'm not worried about. But, you keep it simple. Jay's over as hell. He's gotten, I mean, he deserves, as much as we hate the word, he deserves it as much as anybody else. And great. Now, to, you know, be the fly in that ointment, do I see this being a long, lengthy championship reign for Jey Uso? I do not. And do I see this as the start of a huge singles career? I would say it's less likely. It wouldn't shock me though. Depending on, you know, what happens when his brother comes back. But I think this was just them keeping it simple and hey, he's moving merch. He's doing this. He's doing that. Strap him up. However, I would say I'm standing firm on my belief that his dance card is going to be full in a couple of months. So I don't think he's going to also have the Intercontinental Championship.
Which is why I think they did it now.
Exactly.
Jey Uso is about to be involved in the next 2 to 6 months, that there's not going to be any time to pull the trigger on a Jey Uso championship run of any kind. And you certainly don't want to push it out another year because then you run the risk of not striking while the iron's hot. So you're in a very precarious position if you're WWE. If we do it now, you know, it's a good moment in time. If we wait, we may miss the opportunity.
Yep. And so, boom, just do it, man. Even if it's only a couple of weeks and you had a different, you know, couple of months figured out for that belt. Whatever, just you did it. There probably wasn't going to be a better time to do it.
Rob, you got any thoughts here?
Oh yeah. So first of all, okay. So for one, we've been saying here for a while that at some point you know, one of the knocks that not just us, but our boss, Greg DeMarco, was at Triple H, is that he saves too much for the bigger premium live events. And we've been saying for a while, okay, you need to do one of these major titles. You need to, you know, you need to have a change, have a change on TV. And at a point where we weren't expecting it to. So, you know, look, we criticize him when we think he's doing something wrong. And in this case, he did exactly what we've been asking for him to do. So, you know, you gotta give him credit for it. And so that's number one. Two, okay, about when we say Jay is over and selling all his merchandise, this isn't like Rusev Day outselling John Cena for a month. This is not that. Okay.
Right.
Because, you know, that happens. All right. You know, so this is not that. Okay. This has been pretty consistent for a good year now.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is sustainable.
Yeah. Right. So this is not flash in the pan. This is not, oh, well, he's in a big program and he happens to have a new t-shirt while he's in the big program. So you just kind of buy, you know, transitive property or whatever. It happens to be selling a lot, right? Cause that happens sometimes. They put you in a big feud and your t-shirts will go up for that month or two, right? That happens.
Yeah.
Again, there are people again, like Rusev, he outsold John Cena for a couple of months. Okay, fine. Right. That happens. Okay. This is not that. This has been sustained for a good year now, and it doesn't show any signs of letting up. And so when you have somebody that gets that popular and it's been sustained, it has real staying power to it, real substance to it. They need to win something, okay? And so far, we've seen Jay, he had three title shots against Roman, didn't win any of them. He had a title shot against Damian Priest, didn't win it. He was in the King of the Ring tournament, didn't win it. He was in Money in the Bank, didn't win it. And we have all been saying here that sooner or later, he's got to win something. You can't keep putting him in these spots and him not winning anything, right? And him never winning. You can't do that because people will lose interest, even if they love him to death. You know, we said that about LA Knight also, right? At some point, they have to win the match at some point, right?
Yeah.
So to that end, it was, yes, good. Good that they did that here. And it's the Intercontinental title. He didn't beat Cody Rhodes, okay, folks, who beat Roman Reigns. That's not what happened here. He won the Intercontinental title, okay? And in regards to Braun, you know, I said this on Twitter. The people the veterans who have been there for 8-10 years, they're re-signing all of these folks. Okay. There was a time where they would have let them all leave. Because, you know, we've seen everybody from Charlotte to Oscar to Bailey and then Drew and, you know, and they've all been re-signing. Cody re-signed. Randy is re-signed according to reports. Okay. Sheamus just re-signed. There was a time where they would have let all of them leave. Because they've been there 8 to 10 years, right? They're not doing that. They're keeping all these people, and they're not keeping them the job, okay? They're not keeping them the job to whoever comes up from NXT. That's not why they're keeping all of these people, okay? So the veterans are going to continue to win things, all right? You know, that's going to happen, okay? And like I said, it's not the end of the world, you know, Braun losing to Jey Uso. You know, just like it wasn't the end of the world at, you know, WrestleMania 36 when somebody won the NXT Women's title. It wasn't the end of the world then either. Okay. Some of you people were crying in your cornflakes about that. And some of you same people are crying in your cornflakes now. Okay.
I want to pull something real quick. I want to kind of put a pause in that. Okay. I just pulled something on Rick Steiner. Okay. Rick Steiner's first, NWA World Television title. He beat Mike Rotundo on December 26th of 1988, he turned around and lost it at the Chi-Town Rumble on February 20th. He lost it less than 2 months later. It's okay, guys.
Yes, and it's fine because, I mean, a lot of times the first title reign is just, it's a test. It might be a test balloon. It might just be a throwaway thing. It might just be something that, you know, it might just be your, garden variety TV show plotline. Okay. We're going to have him win and hold it for a little bit and then, you know, whatever. It's not indicative that this is not a, you know, time to be like, what does it all mean? Because it probably doesn't mean anything. Okay?
Yeah, we're reading the tea leaves too hard here.
That's what it means, Rob. It was fun. The Intercontinental Championship reign of Braun Breaker was a hoot.
Right, and then maybe, you know, like I said, he might win it back.
Point, man. Sometimes it's just sports entertainment.
Yeah, that's all it is sometimes, okay? That's all it is sometimes. It's just, it's a TV show. You got to do something on the TV show, right? I mean.
And they did something entertaining on the TV show. I was entertained.
Yeah, I mean, it's no different. Like, if you're watching, you know, I mean, you watch a regular TV show, you know, one of them characters gets a new girlfriend, a new boyfriend for a month, right?
And, yeah.
And it's just, what do they do? It's something to add something to the show, right? And
that's all it is. Or they'll do this thing where they'll tease sexual tension between two characters for like two whole seasons. And even at some point midway through a season, one of those two characters will start dating somebody else.
Yes.
Like, it's okay to do these things. And wrestling fans are fucking weird because they'll do this thing where they'll say, oh, it's going to be a schmoz finish. It's going to be some kind of goofy, wacky finish. Nobody's going to win. It'll be a count out, something stupid like that. And then they complain on one side that WWE never does the big thing on the TV show. But then when they do the big thing on the TV show, that, oh, well, I can't believe they gave that away for free.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
What? Guys. Because you're so like pilled into like the war. I mean, we've said that on this show, so we're even guilty of it. But like sometimes it is just okay that they put on the entertaining stuff on the entertainment show.
Yeah. Right. And it's not like these two were in like some kind of big feud.
No. And at the end of the day, Braun's a brick shithouse, but he's also the rookie got by the veteran. The end. Like, yeah. That's all it was, guys. He's not immortal. You didn't have some Goldberg streak or anything going on. You know? Yeah. And speaking of Goldberg, speaking of Braun Breaker, Jay, man. I'm not going to say stop doing the spear, but you got to pick your spots. You gotta pick your spots, especially, and I will say stop doing the spear if you're in a match with Roman Reigns or Braun Breaker. Cause, man.
Yeah. I.
Sometimes he makes, and I should say, sometimes he makes it work. Like, he makes it work, he looks like a missile, and he, even though he's not that big, it still has that oomph. So, hats off to you, man. Pick your spots. Last note. If it's going unsaid, but if you didn't watch the show, there was a point where they both Braun rebounded off the ropes, came into a spear. Jay speared him out of his spear from basically a standstill. And I'm sorry that no, that just the math on those two human beings doing that motion, that doesn't work even in a comic book, guys.
Especially when Braun Breaker is the guy that they are billing as having this explosive speed.
Exactly. Like,
he's a freight train, 29 mile an hour, run the ropes or whatever the shit they're trying to sell us with him. And he's gonna get hit with a standstill spear while he's in full motion. No, stop. Get out of here with that.
Right. Rob said it.
But, you know, I'm happy. Happy for Jay.
Yeah, we're all happy for Jay. And I just got done saying Jay's a great wrestler. Just stop doing that.
Yeah, and so it's just, I mean, and, you know, y'all want them to, I mean, Jay is the you deserve it guy, okay?
He is.
Yeah.
He was in a tag team for 10 years, and then his brother got hurt, so he got an opportunity. And at that point, the only people who believed when that happened, the only people who were believing that he could do what he's done were probably Roman, Paul Heyman, and Jay himself. Okay.
And Jay is still one of the most important and best parts of the entire Bloodline story. And it happened way at the beginning.
Yes. And the rest of us were like, okay, well, this is nice. You know, Jay gets to have his little match with Roman. Okay. You know, I mean,
when he cut that promo, the one where he's like, you know, the yelling at Roman, he's like, you know, everybody goes, you know, you're the big dog. There goes the Roman Reigns. You know, when they see me at the conventions, they ask, which one are you? And like that, and like the venom, I was just like, man, this guy's got it.
Yeah, but I think even then, I mean, we were not calling this. That 4 years later,
he would be this. No, but I'm stressing that he was shouldered with a huge important part of the Bloodline story, and he over-delivered.
Yeah, and so, and again, none of us were predicting that 4 years later he would be this big of a deal. Okay, and so when we say people deserve it, because y'all know how I get about the you deserve it thing, because most of these people to say the office didn't want me were already getting a bunch of stuff. They just weren't getting everything. They just weren't getting everything. Okay. And
they didn't get the main event of WrestleMania.
Right. But they were already world champion. They just didn't get the main event of WrestleMania. Talking to you.
Right. They had a 454 day title reign, but they didn't get the main event of WrestleMania. Boo!
Yeah. So the office didn't want me. Right. I mean.
Yeah. Exactly. But,
so this is not that, okay? Jay was half of a tag team in a company where every now and then they consider tag team wrestling to be important.
he's in a tag team with his twin brother.
Right. Which the old man probably didn't know which one was which some days, okay?
Absolutely, 100%. It's called Jim Jay and Jay Jim.
Right. And they probably called one of them Kofi or Woods one day. Hell, probably. Okay. Okay. Right. I mean, you know, but.
I mean, he might have called them Alpha and Zika one day, probably. But.
Yeah,
who knows,
right? I mean, or, you know, probably call him their dad's name one day, right? I mean.
Yeah.
But, okay, so to be that.
Did Rikishi lose weight?
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. I mean, you know, so to be that, to come from that and to get where he is now, to where a lot of us were dead serious saying that he should have beaten Roman Reigns and not Cody. We were not joking. We were dead serious about that.
Yeah, dude, it got to a point, man. I remember having that moment on the pod being like, he's back on the list, man. Like he got to that point where he's back on the list. It's him and because of the extra history, obviously, but I wasn't saying that for the longest time. I was like, no, it can't be Jay. No, that just doesn't make sense. He got there, man.
Yeah, and so for somebody like that to get here, this is exactly what you folks claim to be what y'all want, right? Y'all love to talk about, you know, this is what y'all, you know, y'all love to talk about people, well, they work so hard and they work so hard. And okay, This is exactly that. Okay.
Right.
And this is the type of thing you should be celebrating. And, he beat the guy who does, I thought y'all didn't like people who did, cosplay as their parents. I thought y'all didn't like that.
Shit.
Yeah. I didn't like that.
Rob, he hit him with the double negative, though, Triple H did, because the nepotism kid beat the nepotism kid.
Right. But see, certain nepotism kids are okay, but then certain other ones aren't.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Oof. Low blow there.
I mean, if you're the wrong gender, it's not okay.
Yeah.
If you're
the wrong ethnicity, it's not okay.
Hey.
Oh. Although we don't know what Braun's ethnicity is because he's a different color every week, right? We don't know.
Oh my god.
Dude, just take a month off the bronzer.
Yeah.
Like the tanning bed, the stay inside, whatever it is. All three. Yeah.
Whatever color he is this week, it's tanning bed brown or something. I don't know.
But it's people, it's fine. Braun will be fine. And listen, do y'all really, what happened the last time somebody came up to NXT and went undefeated for like several months? What happened then? When they finally lost, y'all weren't too happy, were you? No.
No. As you always say, there's no satisfactory way to end a winning streak.
No.
And I think that's why I agree with you. I hate them for that very reason.
No, I mean, as the winning streak gets longer, it now needs a bigger finish. It needs it needs a certain kind of person on the other end of the ring. Much to my chagrin, and they ended Roman's winning streak perfectly. So, but, it took a guy like Cody, basically another meteor of a wrestler, to do it. And we were just talking about this, Jay was off the list, and he had history, but it just wouldn't have had that same oomph. And I'm saying that's what winning streaks do. It narrows the field of people who can beat them. So, and you don't want that for new people.
No, and then also, why isn't Jay on the same, why isn't Jay in that, why shouldn't Jay be in that type of conversation as somebody to beat a big star? Why shouldn't he be that guy?
At this point, he should be.
No.
Like, I think he's made a case for himself, and I think that may be part of the point, because when we go to the eventual Bloodline Civil War, it's the Tongans and Solo Sikoa and Jacob against at least when you look at perceived power, Roman Reigns, who's the most indestructible force in the WWE universe, and on paper, the Usos, okay, who are a tag team, okay? So not quite as high. However, now you've got Jey Uso, who's not Roman Reigns, but he's up there. Now you're looking from a drama standpoint, okay, we've got a major player in Jey Uso. This ain't just some tag team dude who's coming in for backup. This is a guy that can hold his own. This is a guy who can go to war with the Timu bloodline and take care of business if he has to. So aesthetically, it looks more challenging for Jey Uso to be where he's at on the card.
Former Intercontinental Champion.
Jey Uso.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. Like, you can say that now in the middle of the match when Jey Uso hits somebody with a super kick and, down goes, whatever at the foot of, the former Intercontinental Champion. There you go.
Yeah.
He's on a different level now.
Jacob Fatu eats the Usos alive.
Yeah.
The Usos as a tag team. He eats them alive. Jacob Fatu doesn't eat Jey Uso alive.
Yeah. And so, in short, this is exactly what y'all say y'all want. Y'all say y'all want somebody who the quote unquote office didn't want, who through hard work and their performance got over and it stayed over and is doing all this business. That's what y'all claim y'all want. Y'all swear up and down that that's what y'all want. And that's the people they should push. And that's the people who should get to win everything. And y'all say that all the time. And this is exactly, okay, he has gotten him, he has earned these opportunities through his performance and through selling all his merchandise. Okay. And he is somebody, and so he got exactly what he should be getting. Okay. He should be somebody who can on any given night win the Intercontinental title. Okay. Yes. That's where he should be right now. Yes. Okay. And like I said, Braun will be fine. Okay. There are, you know what? Cause what did you want him to hold Intercontinental title for a whole year? We just had that.
Right.
Yeah. We don't need that.
We just finished that. Okay. We don't need to do it again right now. I mean, so he'll be fine. He will. And you know, and my last thing I'll say, look, if that one loss, if that's enough to kill your career, then you weren't that guy.
Yeah, that's fact. So let's move on from this segment. Rob and Jason watched, I guess it was an AEW show last night. I didn't watch it. Yeah. I don't watch it. I've seen clips. I've seen enough clips to have opinions on certain things, but I'm going to let you two take the floor because y'all watched it in its entirety, mostly Rob, Jason, all of it.
Well, I guess I'll start off because Rob missed the kickoff yeah. match, which was Daniel Bryan versus Nigel McGuinness, and it was a love letter to pro wrestling, guys, as we probably expected, but it was better than because I didn't know Nigel was that good. Like, I know he used to be, and he hasn't wrestled in a long time, so I didn't know what to expect, but that was an awesome way to kick off the show, so... if you're giving away all this stuff for free, hey, might as well. If you at all, like, it was just a British match on steroids. It was so much fun. Just lots of grappling, and it was fun. And then Rob, we don't have to talk about every single match. Did you have some highlights?
Okay, so when I came in, when I got back home, it was during the Young Bucks with against Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher.
Okay, it was right now. Kyle Fletcher, thank you, God. I was just relating that in the pre-show, I was relating it to DJ, and his name fell right out of my head. I could not remember. And Kyle Fletcher, thank you.
Yeah. So, Ospreay is one of the people who actually won me over this year. Now that I've actually sat down and watched him actually work more.
Well, you know what? Ospreay must have been listening to some Ed Sheeran because he let some bad habits come right back.
Well, because they were in there with the exact wrong people for him to be in there with. That's like going back to, you know, that's like you're trying, you kick the habit, but then you decide to go hang out at the crack house.
At the house?
Yeah. Okay.
What are you doing, man? What are you doing here?
Yeah. But it's.
So it's Kick Out Palooza if you haven't seen the match.
Yeah.
Name a maneuver that any four of those or any combination of those four gentlemen, have done or could do, it was kicked out of. Yeah. Like every finisher that there was a Meltzer driver, a TK driver that was kicked out of. There was Ospreay's cutter or whatever it is was kicked out of. It was banana land, but the big finish was absolutely incredible. So, Rob, did you want to detail that how the finish went?
First of all, I come in and they did a spike pile driver on the ring apron for the commercial break spot. And that is everything I hate about Matt and Nick Jackson. They do shit like that. Okay. And again, at least they didn't cover him and he didn't kick out, but still, that was a commercial break spot. They did a spike pile driver on the ring apron. Okay. So at that point, I'm like, oh, here we go. Okay. And so then in the finish, one of them hit Ospreay with the title belt and knocked him out of the ring. Then Kyle Fletcher was going for a roll up and they kicked out. And then the other buck hit him with the other title belt. And okay, that is a perfectly fine way for a heel tag team to win a match, right?
But wait, there's more.
But this is Matt and Nick Jackson, so we can't do that. No. So Kyle kicks out because why? Because we're Matt and Nick Jackson, and we have to do our shitty little finish here to win.
So yeah, they get the super kick party.
And the Meltzer driver, and I'm sorry, it's the TK driver now, I'm sorry.
TK driver.
Alright, and because-
Garbage, they should call it hot garbage is what they should call it.
They should call it
the super. It's actually perfectly fine.
But,
as a wrestling tag team maneuver, I think it rules.
Guys. but it's, because God forbid, you actually play the role and be like, and win like a heel that's supposed to win. You guys, it's supposed to be heels and you should win like a heel is supposed to win. No. We we're going to cheat, but we still got to get our little, we still got to do our finisher after we do the cheating.
So, and with all this, by the way, this was for the AEW World Tag Team Championships of the Bucks. The Bucks are the champions.
Yes.
And that pisses me off. Because I subjected myself to AEW from time to time, a lot in the beginning before they adamantly told me they did not want me as a fan. And I still went across the street and checked them out to see Cody and see certain people and blah, 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 blah. We can do this dog and pony show. We can tickle our own taint with the World Tag Team Championships multiple times and killing multiple tag teams and, winning multiple big matches. But Cody Rhodes couldn't have been AEW World Champion one time. Well, you're all stupid. And I am talking to you, Cody. If you were the buck stops here with Cody, then fine. You what? I get it. But also, half of us were there for you, man. So, much like the Bucks now, with their tag team championships, yeah, you would have heard it online, but the merch would have been flying. So,
I have some thoughts. I told you in the pre-show that I'd let you say your piece on that. I have a theory about Cody Rhodes and the AEW World Heavyweight Championship and why he did the match with the stipulation that he did and why he lost. And I think I've talked about this on this show. When they first created AEW, when Cody first left WWE, he left because they didn't see him as the guy. He felt like he was a bigger star than WWE was presenting him to be, and he was going to go show them. And when he went out on his indie run, and to his credit, greatest indie run of the last 10 years, with a close second being Matt Cardona.
Right, I was going to say, please note, he was going to go out on the indies and show him, and he fucking did.
And he fucking did it, and I'm giving him all the credit in the world. I'm totally putting Cody over here. Fast forward, they do All In. Fast forward a little more, they create All Elite Wrestling, okay? Cody is announced immediately as an EVP. Of course he is. He helped start the company. This is part of his creation. If Cody wins the AEW World Heavyweight Championship in the first year, it looks piss poor because of course he did. And it kind of negates the entire point he was trying to make. He needed to prove that he was world championship material. And if he walks in the door and makes himself first, second, maybe even third AEW championship, it looks like he gave it to himself instead of earning it. So I can see why you don't do that coming in the door. You don't do it year one. I would stretch it out as far as to say you don't do that year two. You make Cody wait for a bit. And Cody's smart enough to the business to know that the money is in the chase. Two, you got to make people want it like we did with Cody. And the perfect example is Cody losing at WrestleMania 39 to come back and win it 12 months later. Right call. Perfect call. So you see Cody, he loses his opportunity, his one and only opportunity. If he loses this, he's never, ever, ever getting another shot at this. What is the one thing that Cody excels at? Bullshit drama. Cody loves the drama. So you push this out 2-3 years. You get yourself a dominant heel champion. Somebody who is tearing the house down and he's absolutely destroying everybody. Not unlike what Roman did. We need a hero. Only a hero can save us. Who's that hero? Cody Rhodes. How's Cody going to get there? That's the story. How is Cody going to get to the point where he can compete for the AEW World Championship again? I think Cody was playing the long game with this and looking at the payoff being somewhere down the road and not in the front side of things. I don't disagree with you, Jason. There was merch to sell, and him being the initial face of the company would have put more eyes on the product initially, but aesthetically, there's a certain look if you just make yourself the world champ, because that's what Jeff Jarrett did in the early days of TNA.
But I would agree, except for the fact that he did have that indie run where, well, everybody else made him a champion. So, including, you know, New Japan. So, like, okay, it's not like he was bumming around on the indies, you know, and then, you know, built a Fed and made himself champion. It's like, he's already been a champion several times. So to the people that would matter to, I feel like when it actually happened, it would matter less.
I see. And to me, it would be.
And I would also to that, I would say Matt and Nick were also EVPs. Matt and Nick were, you know, allegedly now more of the brain children than Cody. You know, if the story they're telling now is to be believed.
But they're not the face of the company.
Yeah, I guess so.
I guess the way I liken it to is if I sat up here and gave myself an award for being the best host on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast.
Well, you are.
So. I don't agree with that, but that's what it looks like to me. Because technically, if we go back through the archives, I started this podcast, you know, and then Rob came on board very shortly after, and then you came on board a short time after that. It would be the equivalent of me saying, you know what? I'm giving myself an award. I'm slapping this on my chest. I'm putting it on a plaque on my wall. I am the best podcast host on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. And to me, it's a bit self-serving.
Fair. But we're also not in a make-believe, you know, play on TV. So.
Yeah.
Where, you know, we can separate the reality from the kayfabe. Even if Vince McMahon and Ric Flair can't.
Look, I hate Matt and Nick Jackson. They're terrible humor.
Yeah, I mean, they wrestle in a way that is the antithesis of how I enjoy professional wrestling, except in a very, very narrow field. Cause I say all that and I'm like, there are a few Kenny Okada matches that I just fucking love, but
it's not the same thing.
Not the same thing. It's the main event of Wrestle Kingdom, you know, blah, blah, blah.
For me, Kenny and Ospreay and Okada, they're not doing like a self-parody.
Right.
Things. And where the Bucks, a lot of what they're doing is basically a lot of what they do is to mock people like Jim Cornette, who are like super serious about how things are supposed to be.
Yeah.
And to mock people like, you know, us old school fans who, you know, we're ready to climb over the cage to get at Ric Flair and Arn Anderson when they were jumping Dusty Rhodes, right? A lot of their whole act is just to mock people who took it that seriously or who take it that seriously. And they're
mocking me, who wanted to rush the ring after Cody Rhodes beat Brett Roman at WrestleMania. But luckily Rob helped me back.
Yeah. And, so, you know, to me, that's a big reason why I just don't like them, because that's what they're doing, right? And again, people like Kenny wants to have a great match. It's just he has a different idea of what a great match is. Okay.
He's not making a mockery of the business. Yes, he has done some.
I would say
the wrestling with the blow up doll, the wrestling with the kid is just not for me.
No.
Okay. Because that there's an old saying in the business. A good worker can have a good match with a broom. Okay. And I think when you go out there and you have a match with a blow up doll, with a whatever, to me, there's people who take the business way, way, way too seriously. And there's people who don't take it seriously enough. I like what I watch to be somewhere in the middle, because I have no illusions about what I'm watching. I know what it is. I've known what it is for the better part of 40 years, and I did it for almost 3 years. Okay. No illusions about what I'm watching, but goddammit, at least try to suspend my disbelief. Make me feel like you give a shit about what you're doing, and more importantly, about the history of what you're doing. I'm not saying go out here and everything needs to be this technical hold for hold, make me believe it's real stuff. But when you go too far in the other direction to the point where I feel like you're mocking the industry and the history and the people who came before you, the people like Bret Hart, the people like, you know, Randy Savage, the people like Ric Flair and Arn Anderson, the people who protected the business in a way that, you know, made people wonder, suspend that disbelief. And nothing about the Bucks suspends my disbelief. At least with Kenny, like Rob said, it's the way he presents his wrestling isn't always necessarily for me, but I don't think he's making a mockery of the business. I think the Bucks openly mock the business, and that's the part of them that bothers me.
So here's how I would put it. I would think, I don't think they're going so far as to mock the business, like Rob's saying, that, you know, certain things they probably might be doing to needle certain people. But I would say that they're almost, there's not a better phrase to use, so I'm going to use the old cliche. They're a parody of themselves, where it's just, it's not even wrestling mockery, it's wrestling parody. It's like they're going through the motions with a lot of their moves. So it just doesn't click for me, because on the other end, while Kenny is a fan of Kickout Palooza, he also appeals to my side of the of wrestling, where I want it to feel like Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter. And Kenny does, because he makes everything hit, he makes people hit him, and he does cool special moves. And sorry guys, it's pro wrestling. Cool special moves are part of the gig. My favorite guy does a Superman punch. Okay. Yeah. Like, let's all come back to Earth.
Right. And well, the other thing about Kenny is
moving his repertoire.
The other thing that Kenny has that the Bucks don't have is a presence. Wrestling has always been about larger than life characters, and Kenny Omega is a larger than life character. Like, he's a guy, as I always say on the show, passes the airport test. I could pick Kenny Omega out in an airport. If I walked past the Bucks and bumped shoulder to shoulder with one of them, I probably wouldn't recognize either one of them. And right now, I can picture them in my head. I know what they look like.
If you saw them standing next to each other in an airport, I think you would get it.
Possibly. But if I passed one of them on the street.
Like you were saying, and I agree, if I walk by and bump one of them and just look real fast, and they're, you know, they're probably wearing a hat or whatever.
He's just another dude. Just another dude. And that's the difference between Kenny Omega and the Bucks, is that Kenny Omega is larger than life.
I would stop.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's to me. And
you know, we recognize Kofi from 25 feet away because he's just this, not just because of the crowd, but like this, hey, that guy. Well, who's this guy?
Yeah, and Kofi does that without being an overly big guy.
Yeah.
No, I was shocked when I shook his hand. I was like, oh. He's not much bigger than me. I mean, he's more fit than I'll ever be in my life, but yeah.
Same here. But, you know, but yeah, it's just, so I just hate, I can't stand the Bucks. I can't. And so I did, you know, I decided to be one of those people. I went on Cage Match and gave their match a bad review.
Have you checked to see if anybody, because you can comment there, right?
Well, you can't reply to people's comments, but you can if you sign up.
Okay. I didn't know you. They probably nixed that because the replies thing probably got ridiculous.
Well, because all right, so well they put in because you have to make an account, and then you can comment and you can give grades. But now they had to change. They had to change the rules because people were review bombing stuff, of course. And so they had to change the rule where there's like a waiting period now, and then. You know, for people who are commenting the first time, and there's a shorter waiting period for people who regularly comment. But I made sure to go. I made sure to go there and give their match a bad review.
One Rob's star. Rob's doing the Lord's work.
Yes. One star with a very thought out summary. Good job, Rob.
Have you guys got any more on that show, or can we wrap it up here?
Well, I just one thing. Okay, so at the end, the main event, Moxley beat Darby Allin, and then you know Moxley has his group of thugs now, and he's the lamest one in the group. I'm sorry. Yeah. I mean, because Pac and Claudio, they're like the silent killers, right? So they've been smart enough to go in there and keep people up and don't talk. And Marina Shafir, who showed zero personality all those years she was in NXT, she looks like a legit badass woman walking around with those guys, putting hands on people.
Suddenly she's the fucking Terminator? Where did this come from?
And it works. It's convincing. It's believable.
I'm saying this, all the love and appreciation in the world. I wish she showed this in NXT. Like,
don't understand, Jason.
Legit.
They got the chains off of her.
Oh, stop it with this. She just finally came out of the title.
But I mean,
that's up to you, girl, because you did. That girl has a presence now. Holy fuck.
And it's crazy, man, because, you know, again, like when they were walking, when her and, the other, like, Jessamyn, they were walking around with Shayna, they just had on, like, you know, they looked like they were just kind of hanging out with their buddy, right?
She looks like he's suplexing dudes, so that does help. But it's even still, when she's just standing there, it's a whole different girl, man. She's, like I said, she's a Terminator. I love
it. You know what? Good for her. Some people you got to leave and find yourself.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, and so, you know, I got to give her all the credit in the world because she's completely turned things around. Because look, that whole time that they were both them, they were Shayna. It was just like, oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were the goon squad.
Pretty much, they were.
They didn't get beyond that.
Patterson and Briscoe.
Yeah. And so, you know, kudos to her for figuring it out here.
Yeah. All right. Well, guys, I've got nothing else unless y'all do.
I'm good.
That's it, because next week we got Bad Blood to talk about next week.
And next week, remember, I told you guys a couple weeks ago, next week will be a special episode of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. We are going to be simulcasting with the guys from DWI. That'll be PC Tunney for sure, probably AJ Balazs again, possibly the scientist DPP, maybe even the lawyer Dave Ungar. We may have a full show here. The Mindless Wrestling Podcast, if you're looking for us weekly, will actually be live on Friday. We normally drop on Saturday on the network and all your favorite podcasting platforms. We will drop on Friday. So be aware of that. Be looking for it. Be ready for it. We will be talking all things Bad Blood. And then on Saturday, we are going to carry over. It's going to be a two-part episode. We are going to be on with the DWI guys. I have no idea what Tony has in store for us. Probably some type of trivia, I hope, and whatever else they come up with. But either way, next week, we're on Friday, DWI's on Saturday, simulcasting with the guys there on our show, and then on their show, look forward to that. That's next week, talking Bad Blood. Before we get out of here, I want to invite you to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, check out, browse, peruse, if you will, all the t-shirts that are available from your favorite Chairshot Radio Network podcasts, including this one. Guys, the holidays are coming up. You're looking for Christmas gifts. Pick your friends, pick your family up a t-shirt. Halloween is coming up. Cosplay as a Mindless Wrestling podcast host, if you will. Pick up a t-shirt. Pick one up in soft style. Your body will thank you. We will thank you. That is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Going to wrap around the room here and thank my boys, starting with Rob from the Rob the Genius podcast. Rob, good show tonight. Good show.
Yes, sir, and always good to be here.
Always fun having you, man. Look forward to these things every week. And actually, you guys have lifted my mood. I came in here in a kind of a crummy mood, had a bit of a rough week, and I want to thank you both for breaking me out of that and getting me into this whole thing. Because I'll be honest with you, mentally before we started, I was like, I don't know. Jason, sir, thank you for another good show.
Thank you. Same deal. I was like, you know, just like, all right, we just got to do the show tonight. Da, da, da. And as we always, you know, we've mentioned on the show several times, once the mics come on and I start talking to my guys, then the magic happens, and, you know, if you forget about your shitty week or whatever it was, you know. So thank you, gentlemen. I hope we did the same for you, the listener.
Yeah, that's what we want this to be. It's a little break away from things. And the way I look at it like this, and this is what I've always wanted this podcast to be. Obviously, we go to work, we come home. Some people stop off at the bar. They talk to their friends. They have a little powwow. This is our weekly stop off at the bar powwow. You know, the three of us just talking wrestling and whatever comes up. And I love the hell out of it, and I love the hell out of you guys for it.
And we love you, the listeners.
Yes.
So, remember, you can call it pro wrestling, you can call it sports entertainment, you can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we are out of here until next week where we are talking bad blood.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.